Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome once again to Border Crossings, where we bring you some of the biggest names in the music business. This guy who's joining us today is responsible for 41 number one hits in his career, and now he's released his debut album. We welcome David Malloy. It's nice to have you, David.
Thanks, Larry. I'm so happy to be here. Appreciate it. Thanks.
So what made you decide all of a sudden now to release an album?
I never had one. My father was in the music business, and he was a very, very successful engineer. And when I was a teenager, we'd have people like Roy Orbison and Mickey Newberry and Jack Clement, people come over to the house, and they would bring their guitar and they would sing and stuff. And they always kind of seemed a little bit bigger than life to me a little bit. And so I was overwhelmed by them a little bit, and I thought, well, I could never be an artist. I could never be bigger than life. It'd be too much, you know. But I always wanted to make records. I wanted to write songs. And so I always worked with other people. I never did a note of music on myself until I did this project. So I really wasn't sure what to expect. My wife wasn't even sure what I sounded like or what it was going to even be like. So it almost felt like a spiritual journey, like something I had to do. I didn't have a choice to do it.
Mm-hmm. And songwriting is something you've done so well and for so long. And you mentioned that you grew up in a house where your father, Jim Malloy, was a legendary producer in the music business. Now, what was it like being a kid and sitting at the dinner table with Chet Atkins or the, you know, some of the greats, Kenny Rogers, you know, Dolly Parton?
Well, you know, you're a kid, so you're not thinking, you know, you're thinking like kid thoughts, kind of like this is just your life. It was a regular life. I didn't realize how special that was until as an adult and I was older. I just kind of, you take it all for granted. That's just how you grew up, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, dad was friends with entertainers and singers and songwriters.
And you, I guess, are also a big golfer. So
yes.
I'm going to ask you, well, what clubs do
I
you
actually live on? What's a golf course?
What's your clubs?
If I turned the camera around, you'd see a golf course.
What are your clubs? What's in your bag?
I had PXGs last year. I went to TaylorMade's this season, and I've got the Stealth Driver and the Stealth Freewood.
I just bought the Mizuno hot irons.
Okay.
But they're not so hot. play golf.
If you ever make it to Nashville, you'll have to come play golf with me.
So. I would love it. I played golf with John Denver before. And okay. He was a great golfer. In Hong Kong, we played. We're talking with the one and only David Malloy, who is our guest here. And we're talking about his brand new album, which is called Mirror. Why did you name the new album Mirror?
I named it Mirror because, you know, as you go on and you have success, when you get older, then people start talking to you about possibly writing a book. And I always said, I'm never going to write a book. That's not what I do. And then I started thinking, well, I won't write a book. I'll write an album. That's what I'll do. And so these will be songs personal to me from my life, where I'm not trying to be a chameleon and, so to speak, be somebody else. You know, I haven't really ever owned a pickup truck, and I'm not really a beer drinker. So there's no songs about pickup trucks or beer. There's songs about my life personally, but as a professional writer, I tried to write them in a way that the subject anybody could relate to. Even though it was personal to me, I wanted to still touch emotions in everybody, as you try to do as a professional songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do decide to write a book, you know, or to put out an autobiography with all your interesting stories, you can use a ghostwriter. You can have somebody do the writing for you.
Exactly.
Just tell
yeah.
them the stories. That would be great. I'm sure it'd be an interesting read.
Yeah. Well, it could be, but I can't tell those stories.
You can't tell all the stories?
I can't tell all those stories now.
Well, tell me something that would shock me. I want to know something about someone you worked with that no one would have ever expected.
Well, for songwriter-wise, one of the most unusual things was when I wrote with Don Schlitz, who wrote The Gambler. He had the most interesting way of writing. He would, if we had a title, then he liked to write down everything that could relate to that title. Didn't have to rhyme, just write them down on the side of the paper. He kind of called it like collecting the furniture. And then after you got all the pieces of the furniture there, then go about trying to make the rhymes to those. I never had written in that style before. Mm-hmm. So that was a very unusual thing to me for writers. Usually on a co-write, you just start throwing out ideas. And but his was a very fascinating way of doing it.
Do you remember the first song you wrote in your life?
Yeah. Well, no, the very first thing I ever tried writing was a little thing I had stuck in my head when I was in second grade. So no, not really.
I thought maybe you'd go back. Some artists go back to the music they wrote when they were younger and redo it a little bit.
Yeah, I got my first guitar was 15 years old, and my father and Chet Atkins drove down to Gruen Guitar, and Chet picked out my guitar for me. I still have it. It's a little gut string guitar. He wanted something that wouldn't hurt my fingers or anything, and that I would, you know, say, this is too hard, I'm going to quit. So he picked out the guitar. I'm really proud of that.
Mm-hmm. Were you a country music fan in Los Angeles before you moved to Nashville?
No, I wasn't. You know, growing up in Los Angeles, obviously, for me, you know, I'm a baby boomer, so it was the Beatles and the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones and that. But my father, occasionally on a weekend, would put us in a car and drive us out in the country somewhere, and then there would be a flatbed truck, and country artists would get up and perform in a field on this flatbed truck.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So, but I never was really a true country fan. We moved to Nashville when I was 13 years old, and I started working in a recording studio when I was 18. When I wasn't in college, I was working in the studio. So I was hearing country music and a lot of great country music. And I wanted to change country music as I was currently hearing it. I wanted to change it. And so I brought in my pop rock influences, and then I met Eddie Rabbit, and through that created a lot of that crossover music, was incorporating those different elements of other genres into country. I think we were one of the pioneers of the crossover records.
Well, Driving My Life Away, that was one of my favorites. I was playing it when it first came out. Yeah, I mean, all of the songs that you've written in the crossovers, you know, that have happened in the last few years, right now, country is definitely crossing over. You got Beyonce making a country album. You've got Luke Combs on the pop charts, you know, so Jelly Roll's on the pop charts. You know, you got a lot of crossovers going on. So it's, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time for music. I think music needs to transcend the borders of format limitations.
I totally agree with you, Larry. When you're inspired, you're in the middle of writing something, you're not really judging, you know, what is the style? Is it going to work? Whatever. It starts with that initial seed of inspiration, and you just kind of go off on it and start writing. I didn't worry so much about the genre. I figured after I was finished, that was somebody else's job to figure out what box it went into.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with David Malloy. Debut album is Mirror, out on April 26th. And I did want to ask if you do a song for us.
I would love to do a song for us, for you. I would, and your audience. I would be very happy to. Also, I want to, I've got Paul Childers, who's my co-producer, excellent guitar player, playing with me. And so I would like to, just wanted to introduce him before we get started on this song.
Sure. So, what's the first song we're going to hear?
Well, I guess we should probably start with I Play Gimme Shelter. That was my first single, and it's a kind of a my little kind of tribute to the Rolling Stones. I was a big fan of the song Gimme Shelter, and a big fan of Sympathy for the Devil. That was coming off the Let It Bleed album, and so it's kind of that feel, and so that was the first one that we put out.
All right, let's check it out. Here is David Malloy on Border Crossings.
Woo! kind. I care for others. I hope your life is filled with wonder. I try to live that golden rule, but I'm running out of polish and I don't know what to do. Sometimes I start feeling down and my world turns helter-skelter. I pick up my guitar and play Give Me Shelter. I play Give Me Shelter.
Yes, I play Gimme Shelter. It's David Malloy, and he is with us here on Border Crossings. Is there a difference between how you write music for rock? You've written for Badfinger and quite a few other bands, and how you write country? Do you approach it differently or no?
There's a little bit maybe melodically or just the feel, but no, I think it all starts kind of from the same place. Mm-hmm. What it is, you know, you do learn to be a chameleon. You know, when I first started working with Reba McEntire, first thing I said at that time to her husband, Narvel, who also was her manager, is we flew to one of her concerts. And I said, I don't want to be backstage. I want to be in the audience. I want to walk around and I want to know who the audience is, you know. And that's part of my process of kind of like becoming the artist or becoming Reba in my head, you know. And that's, I always felt I was really good at that, kind of just transcending into somebody else and then writing as if I was them.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were when you heard your song on the radio for the first time, the song that you had written, produced, created?
Wow. I co-wrote my first hit single when I was still a senior in high school.
Wow.
So it was called Then You Walk In, and it was recorded by Sammy Smith. So it would have been when I would have been probably about 19 years old when I heard my first work on the radio.
Mm-hmm. And you were the most popular kid in high school, I guess.
Well, not necessarily. You know, I mean, music back, you know, I'm old enough that, you know, it was all about basketball and football. It really wasn't about music and golf, you know.
Right,
music
right.
And golf became much cooler as time went on. And they were when I was first growing up.
Well, when you're established as you are, of course, you know, golf can become a priority. But when you're making the climb up at 19, there's no time to be thinking about golf. But
right.
David Malloy is our guest here on Border Crossings. And so you involved your dog in a music video for a new song?
I did. I've got a black German Shepherd, and I've got this, I got a great song that I just love called A Brand New Day. And it's a song... It's a song about hope and second chances. And so I wanted to create a video that would make you smile. And I thought I would have my dog with me, because I was actually out. It was about 6 a.m. I was taking the dog outside to, you know, to do a little business. And I looked over and there was this beautiful sunrise just starting to come up. And I turned the opposite direction to the west, and there was the moon. And I was standing there with my dog DJ, and I remember going, "Good morning, sunshine." And I turn it over and going, "Good night, moon." And those are the two opening lines of the song. And I went back in the house and started writing the song. And so I kind of wanted DJ with me to figure out how to get her in the video, because it was because of her really taking her outside that the song was written.
Wow. And I saw DJ walking around in your house. I think DJ's probably there now.
Yeah, I actually put her on the porch so she wouldn't start barking. That's what I was doing there. But yeah.
Have you had dogs your whole life?
I have had dogs my whole life. I've never had a German Shepherd, and I'm just amazed by the intelligence of the breed of the dog. I just love her so much. Mm-hmm. And we've been through a lot. We actually went through a bombing, her and I. She's my bomb dog. When the Christmas bombing happened in Nashville, you remember about 3 years ago?
Yes, yes.
I was the guy. I became the man with the dog. Once again, taking the dog outside to do the business.
Wow.
And I'm looking around, there's police cars everywhere. And I looked at the police officer, he's walking toward me. I said, what's going on? Before he could answer me, the explosion went off. And then I ended up being the only eyewitness at the time and ended up being on all the networks and everything doing the interviews. And so she's kind of call her my bomb dog a little bit. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, you have gone through some life changing events in your life. I mean, you lost a son.
I lost my son Mason. Whew. I mean, it's been 18 years and I could still start shedding tears if I go think it's the worst thing a parent could ever go through. It really is. It's just a terrible thing. And actually it was that started the album. Really, I wrote a song called Mason's Wallet. It's going to be the third single and it's going to come out with the album. And it kind of was the start. I wrote that song. And actually, I don't know how much time we got, but I want to tell the story. I moved out to this golf community here in Nashville. And I was told that Luke Bryan was a member of this golf community and that he knew that I was moving here. And I didn't really know him. I told my wife, I said, you know, I might run into Luke and I really don't know him. And she said, well, you know, he has a documentary and you should watch that. So I was watching the documentary and I didn't know that he had lost his brother and then a couple of years later lost his sister. And I don't know what it was, Larry, but somehow or another, I got closure from listening to Luke talk about what he'd been through. I got extra closure for my son. And then I actually ran into Luke several weeks later and I was joyfully got to tell him that story about watching his documentary. And it really meant a lot to me. He told me, that means so much to me. You want to think when you're exposing yourself out like that, that it does make a difference for somebody. And I said, Luke, it really made a difference for me. And I went on and wrote Mason's Wallet. And then after writing Mason's Wallet, more and more songs just started pouring out, you know. And it became like I couldn't stop. And it was like, next thing I know, there were 16 songs that I'd written by myself. Put two of them away. There's 14. So there's 14 on the album. And it just, I just felt like I was like, almost like I was channeling. It was like something I had no choice. I had to create this music.
Mm-hmm. And writing, as a songwriter, it's probably very therapeutic.
It is. You know, songwriting is a funny thing. It's kind of, you kind of like open your suitcase of baggage and you lay it out there and you kind of look at which one of your life experiences or emotions are you going to tap into today. And so I think songwriters are probably, because of that, we're a little extra sensitive, maybe a little extra emotional. I don't know, because we're always diving deep into those emotions when we're writing, you know, almost daily you're doing that. So it is therapeutic in a way. It is. And you do become very in touch with your own emotions and feelings. And then you learn how to talk about those and sing about those.
Mm-hmm. I'm always excited when I have a songwriter, certainly an accomplished one such as yourself, on the show, because I like to ask the question, where is the most unique or interesting place you ever got inspiration to write a song? Now, you told us about Walking the Dog, which inspired, you know, one of your singles.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the case of Eddie Rabbit and even Stevens, it was just many countless hours together and, you know, either in the kitchen or upstairs, you know, in a room or somewhere like that. So those could come anywhere. I wrote some of the lyrics on a couple of these songs when I was on the golf course, literally. I mean, or in my car. Sometimes I'm in my car. I love riding in my car. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I take my hands off the wheel and start and started texting Lyric or something like that, you know. But I really do, you know. And I think if you talk to a lot of music producers, you'll find that they would listen to their final work in their car. Something about our car, it's like. And I don't know if that works for you, Larry, but it's like you can listen in your car. You know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden the clarity and everything is just there.
You connect. It's you're alone. You connect.
Exactly. And it's like I find it like the best place to review your work or even write and create.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. David Malloy is our guest. Are you going to do another song for us?
Oh, I'd love to do another song. I want to do A Brand New Day. That's the current single that's out right now.
All right. Well, he's walking his dog. It's A Brand New Day. Here's David Malloy on Border Crossings.
Good morning, sunshine. Good night, moon. Good morning, sweet love. Good morning to you. Good morning, friends. Good morning, life. What a beautiful sight. It's a brand new day.
Crossings, David Malloy, and Brand New Day. And every day is a brand new day for you. I mean, you know, every day you're doing something different. You waited till now to actually record your own album. But, you know, 41 number one hits you've given away. Any regrets? I mean, did you regret giving away any of those songs?
No regrets at all. I've had just, I'm so blessed and just to be able to do this for a living and to be successful at it and work with so many incredibly talented people and to get so close with them and personal with them and mm-hmm. and their trust in me to keep some of the experiences personal about that book that I'm not going to write.
if you were going to write a book, what would it be called? What would you title it?
Oh my God. Wow. Well, you know, I was ready for this till you asked me that one. Now you got my palms sweating. I'm not sure. I wish I could answer that for you really quickly. You know, I just, you know, if I asked my father, the first thing he would say is tell him not to get in the music business. You know, it's like, cause it's hard. It's a hard thing. There's, you know, it's an all or nothing kind of a job. It doesn't really train you to fall back on another job. You know, you mm-hmm. You know, and so I do say one thing to new artists and it still holds true to me today. If I'm talking to somebody who's thinking about getting in the music industry is I ask them if they have a B plan, if it doesn't work. And if they tell me they have a B plan and start to tell me about it, I say you should go straight to your B plan because you don't have enough confidence. because this is a hard, brutal, exposed, lay yourself out there, and it doesn't mean it's going to work. You know, it's almost like you got to feel like you have no choice. Like there's nothing else I can do in the world. I have to do this. This is all I can do. Mm-hmm. If you got that kind of feeling in you and that's how you feel about it, that's your first step.
Of all the artists you've rubbed elbows with, who surprised you the most and why?
Well, I've been so fortunate. I mean, working with Dolly Parton was incredible. Just an amazing person. Working with her in the studio is no different than watching her on television or watching her perform. She is Dolly all the time. In fact, so we were out in LA working on a studio, and I did the Real Love album and the duet with Kenny Rogers, Real Love. So we were doing vocals, and it was lunchtime, and we were going to break for lunch. And I asked somebody at the studio about something more close, and they said, well, there's a little Mexican restaurant a couple blocks down. And we were on a busy road out in the valley there in LA. And I said, well, I'll get the car and we'll drive there. And Dolly says, no, let's just walk there, right? And you gotta realize when Dolly comes to the studio, she looks like she does when she goes on stage. There's no difference. Dolly's always Dolly. So here we are walking down the sidewalk, and cars are slowing down and looking because it's Dolly. And here we, you know what I mean? And we're
right.
Just walking down the sidewalk to the Mexican restaurant. And you know what was so cool about her? And this is when we were there, if she was talking to any of the employers, or it didn't matter if it's the owner or the employer or one of us, Dolly treats everybody the same. Everybody the same. And I tell you what, from the handful of superstars I've been so blessed to work with, Reba McEntire, Kenny Rogers, Dolly, one thing that they all have in common, and that is when you are talking to them, you have 100% of their attention.
Hmm.
If it's 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever, for that time you're with them, they are with you 100%. And then when they move on to the next thing, they move 100%. So they're not talking to you and then glancing around, making you feel like they don't really want to talk to you.
Right.
And I've noticed they all, it's a special quality. And for any wannabe artist that might see this, that's, you know, whoever you're talking to, give them your full attention. They deserve.
That's great. I was going to ask you what's the best advice you ever got and who gave it to you?
Kenny Rogers. Best advice.
What did he tell you?
What he felt the secret of his success. He said he felt the secret of his success is that when his intuition, or he intuitively felt it was time to make a change, he made the change right then. He said, I feel people make a mistake by not trusting their intuition and waiting too long to make the change. And they should have done it when they first felt it. And he said, I feel that's the key to my success. And he had probably, Larry, as you know, one of the longest careers of any artist we've ever known, you know. And he had that great ability to just move on to the next thing and let the past let it go.
Yes. And I was blessed to have Kenny on before his farewell tour. And I've also had Dolly on as well. So I know exactly what you're talking about and have nothing but respect, great respect for them. And Dolly looked fantastic on the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I thought she was a cheerleader.
World,
I didn't think it was Dolly Parton.
Jaw dropped. We were all jaw dropped. It was unbelievable, you know?
Yes, yes.
And that's how she is. I told her in the studio when we were going to do vocals, I said, listen, you know, if you just want to relax and kind of chill, you know, and just kind of dress, be however you want to be, I'm fine with that. It'd just be me and the engineer, you know, no cameras, nothing. She says, oh no, I'm Dolly. I'm always Dolly. People expect me to be Dolly, and I'm Dolly. And sure enough, every time she came in, she could have been walking on stage.
Wow. And well, it's great that she put out a rock and roll album too. I mean, you know, at this stage.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Well, she got voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She
yes.
Said, well, I got to have, you know, and that's Cole and Dolly. That was not surprised at all.
Well, I know Dolly is guesting on Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter. And
I've listened to that album multiple times. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
I had to ask you because there's been some controversy about the album. I mean, that's a big risk for Beyonce, but it seems to be paying off.
I think the album is total genius. I really do. I mean, I've not been so impressed by, I was just really blown away. And not like I know all the work of Beyonce, because I don't. But I've listened to that album several times. tremendous amount of work has gone into that album, a lot of thought, so much creativity. I think it's just brilliant. You know, and there again, now we're back to these genres and trying to decide, is it this or it's that? And when we're making that music, we're not really thinking that. And I don't really think she was caught up in that either, you know. She was going back to her roots of where she was from and how she kind of grew up and the music she was hearing. And I love when she says in that one line, you know, if that ain't country, I mean, to her it is, you know. And what is country music, Larry, anymore, really? You know what I mean? What does it have to have a steel guitar? I mean, do we have to sing about a beer? What is it? I think country music is just stories, human life stories, you know, things we all go through. And I think that's why country songs cross over, because we're talking about real life stories. It doesn't matter what the guitar sounds like or what the beat of the drum is. These are messages that relate to all genres of people.
Mm-hmm. Talking with David Malloy, and yes, my gosh, you know, you hit the nail on the head that it shouldn't be limited. I mean, you know, music is unlimited, and therefore we shouldn't be limiting artists and songs and putting format names on their music and whatnot. But so I'm going to ask you a question, because we talked about Beyonce and she collaborated with Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus and a whole bunch of others. If you could choose three people, dead or alive, to collaborate with, who would they be?
Well, I would say I'd like to write something with Bob Dylan. I mean, there's no greater writer to ever take a breath, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd want to do with Bob Dylan. Of course, if you could sit down with Paul McCartney and write a song, you know, and come on, that would be over the top. And then what about Hank Williams?
Wow. You got three of the greatest songwriters. Of course, you're right in there as well. And
but thank you. Thanks for saying that. Very kind of you.
Well, you know, 41 number one songs is not something that comes along every day.
Well, let me clarify that, because this is really important. I mean, they're not just songs. I'm also a record producer, and all those number ones, I also produced those records. Wasn't just the record. I also made those records. So I had a lot of number one records that I wasn't the songwriter on. I was just the producer on. So between the writing and the production, that's how I got the number. So it wasn't like actually 41 number ones, but I am in the Nashville Songwriter Hall of Fame. And
congratulations.
And thank you. And I did one of the first things, you know, I was proud to say was I created all the records besides, you know, being a writer on the song to get there.
Mm-hmm. And you also work with the veterans. You're really supportive of the veterans. We have the military tuned in, by the way. They watch this program around the world. And so I know that you did a concert for veterans, and you've done some other fundraisers as well. You were in Mexico.
I've done a few things for the veterans, and I never say no when I'm asked to do that. If somebody out there wants me to do something, I can do it. I'm going to be there to do it. My brother-in-law is retired from the 101st from the Black Hawk Helicopter Division. And I know what my sister went through all those years and when she didn't know where he was and worrying about him. So anything I can do to help give back, I want to be there.
David Malloy is our guest. Mirrors is the name of the new album. You're going to do another song for us, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do one everybody knows. I want you to sing along with me. I want to do Drive My Life Away.
Drive My Life Away. Hey.
Come on, Larry. You going to sing with me?
Sure. Absolutely. I sang to it all the time in my car. That's probably another reason we connect in the car, is no one else can hear us sing.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
All right.
I got a new song that I've written. I haven't told anybody about it yet, but it's called I'm a Star in My Car. Which
I like that.
Which is about that very. It's about that very thing: singing in your car and pounding on your dashboard.
All right. Well, here's one of those 41 number one songs. This one was recorded by Eddie Rabbit. It's Driving My Life Away, and it's sung by David Malloy here on Border Crossings.
Well, the midnight headlights. Slow me down, make it no time. You gotta keep her rolling. With those windshield wipers slapping out a tempo, keep a perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. You gotta keep her rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way.
Crossings, David Malloy, Driving My Life Away from the Mears album. And this is your first album. People listening to your stories and say you've been doing this for so long. It's amazing that, you know, you waited this long to come out with an album. Will there be more albums, or is this just a one-off?
Well, I can't stop writing. And so I've got a good little collection of songs. So I'm going to say, yeah, Even though I'm so excited for people to get to hear this one. And so far I've had such great feedback from the first two singles. And anytime you create a song and you feel like you really touched somebody with it, there's no greater compliment. There's nothing greater, Larry, than when someone says, oh my God, I remember where I was and what I was doing and what I was wearing the first time I heard that song. That's the greatest compliment you could ever have. Mm-hmm. Your song actually took a snapshot of somebody's life at that time.
Right. And I think that's what makes many songs everlasting, is that they have a song that connects to something, first date, first kiss, whatever. So that's kind of amazing, you know. And do you have a name for your fan base? Do you have a name for them?
Like Swifties, you mean?
Yeah, like the Swifties.
No, I haven't thought about that one yet, but I'll start putting my brain to that. Maloisies, I don't know.
Maloisies, there you go. That's great. Is there anybody that you haven't written with that you'd like to write with in country music today?
Oh, I think Morgan Wallen's songs are incredible. I really do, you know. And I see him out here playing golf sometimes too.
Oh wow, wow! Country artists like to golf.
Oh, they do. In fact, if we still got a minute, I got to tell you my Morgan Wallen story.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm on the 18th hole with a buddy of mine. It's last August, scorching hot. The course is slow. We've been waiting on somebody every shot. Nobody's behind us, right? So we're in the middle of the 18th fairway, and I see a cart pull up on the tee box behind us, and I'm not thinking anything about it, you know. And so we're waiting and waiting, and it's about 100 degrees. And so I pull over to the side of the fairway to get under a tree to get a little bit of break. So they finally get off the green, and I pull back out in the middle of the fairway. About that time, a golf ball comes flying over the top of my head. Uh-oh. And lands about 15 yards out in front of me, you know. So I turn around, and I'm going, hey, you know, we're out here playing golf, you know. And so these guys
don't
kind
hit
of
into
waiting,
me.
You know? So we get done. I'm up by the turning the cart in, and they get done on the green. And I see these two guys, and I go, you know, that wasn't cool. And the guy says, if you want to talk to me, come over here and talk to me. And I said, okay, I'll come over there and talk to you. You know, so I'm marching over there, and I'm going to talk to him, right? And I see him, and he puts his hand out. He says, hey, I'm Morgan. And I went, the artist? And he went, yeah. And I said, I love your music, man. And I said, and that was a great drive, but you shouldn't have done that.
And who knew he was going to drive it over you?
Oh, my God. That was a great shot. It really was. So I know he loves his golf game. But that's my Morgan Wallen story.
David Malloy, it's a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show. And congratulations on all the success. What do you do when you get writer's block?
You don't write.
You don't. How do you get over it? How do you get out of it? For the benefit of the writers who might be tuned in.
Well, you know what? We'd come off of Driving My Life Away and Love Rainy Night, and I was writing with Eddie Rabbit and Even Stevens, and we were getting together to start writing the Step by Step album. And we started writing, and everything we started wasn't good enough. Nothing was good enough. Nothing was good enough. And Eddie said, you know what? It's just three chords. I mean, it's like we play three chords, maybe four chords. We're trying to make this too hard, you know? And it kind of stuck with me. And I kind of refer to that sometimes when it's a bit of writer's block, is you're just overthinking. You're trying to make something too hard, you know? Mm-hmm. Just keep it kind of simple and just, and there again, open up your baggage of emotions and pick one of them and start writing away.
What's your favorite song that you've written?
Oh, Driving My Life Away is just is a treat. It's always fun to perform it, and I don't know any artist or musician who hasn't played that in a club somewhere when they were coming up, you know. And so I always love to hear those stories about Driving My Life Away, and that's been such a treat. It's an incredible thing to be a part of great music and great work. It really is. It's such a blessing and an honor and a joy to hear the stories and to share your story with people. This is wonderful.
And have you ever asked for an autograph?
No, I never have. You know, there's a lot of times I wish I'd had a picture. I wish we'd taken pictures, but you know, cell phones with cameras haven't been around all that long. So you know what I mean? You know, it's so easy to take a picture now, you know, back in the day, especially, you know, when you're with an artist in the control room and in the studio, they're most vulnerable at that time. They really don't want to know about a camera or anything like that. You know, it's such a private, vulnerable time, and they're getting ready to do their vocals or do their new music. And they're really exposing themselves. It's a very kind of sensitive, emotional time. And sometimes they have to go deep inside and kind of touch the child inside that we all kind of have, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a very private kind of time. So so we didn't really take a lot of pictures in the studio. Looking back on it, there's a lot of times I wish I had some photos.
Mm-hmm. If you were stuck on a desert island, you could only bring one album, what would it be?
Wow. Man, I guess it'd be down to the Let It Be album of the Beatles or the White Album. But God, you know, what about Tea for the Tiller Man? It's just, man, don't make me pick one, you know. Come on, Larry. It's like, you know, I love music. There's no greater joy than to hear new music and to fall in love with it and to hear it over and over again, and you can't get enough of it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, and even though us in the industry, we hear so much music, and do we get jaded or whatever? Well, we hear a lot of bad music, okay? Mm-hmm. And when it's bad, you know it's bad, and you don't like it, you turn it off, you know? Mm-hmm. But you, every time you put something new on, you want it to blow you away. You do.
Right.
You know, and when you do find that artist or that song or that thing that does it, and you keep hitting repeat, you know, that's just, to me, such a great joy. I've also love the new besides Beyonce, God, I forgot her name, sorry, the one who's got the song Cardinal and all that, the new album. Anyway,
Lainey Wilson Casey Musgraves.
Casey Musgraves, I love her new album too. I really think that's another brilliant songwriter. I'm attracted to the songwriters, you know, obviously.
Yes, and the lyrics are your music and other people, the lyrics are so important. They're not a throwaway like they are in a lot of pop music.
You know, and I feel like she's just writing about herself, you know, and I think Taylor Swift the same thing. They have a great ability to whatever it is in their life they're going through to put that into song, you know, and they do it so effortlessly. I'm jealous.
Before I let you go, David Malloy, I wanted to ask if first of all, where can people find you on the internet and on social media if people around the world, because we're on in 100 countries. So if they want to find your music, they want to find your story, read up on you, where do they go?
I would love it. So they could go to davidmalloymusic.com or David Malloy Music on YouTube. You find me there. So davidmalloymusic.com. And there on my .com site will be links to my videos. I've got two great videos. I'd love for your audience to see them for those two songs. I had so much fun making them. And I think they'll put a smile on your face. So thank you for asking for that. And And actually, in my bullet points, I was supposed to say that, and you did. Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, last piece of business here is I want to give you a chance to say something to the international audience, which I mentioned earlier does include the troops. So you're more than welcome to the floor is yours.
Wow. I know you got me chill bumps now. Well, thank you for this opportunity to share my music and share my stories. And I hope you find something in one of my songs that you relate to. And if you relate to the lyric, then that's something we share together. And there's nothing better for me than to feel like we connected musically. And I don't think anything's more powerful than music around the world. And we never know who the songs are going to touch, you know. So we give it all we have. We pour our heart out. We work as hard as we possibly can. And then once we put it out there, it's out there. And we never know where that river's going to flow or who it's going to touch. And so to have this opportunity, Larry, on your platform to get to share my music is such a great joy and honor. And I thank you so much for this.
Oh, it's our pleasure and honor to have you on the show, David. And we've got an audience of 300 million people all around the world. So if everybody buys a copy of the new album, Mirrors, then you might come up with a second one. You might change your mind and do a second album.
I would be happy. And for all our troops around the world, God bless you. And thank you so much for everything that you do.
Well, thank you, David Malloy, for joining us today on Border Crossings. The new album is called Mirror. It's out now, and I thank you for tuning in. You're watching VOA TV. We'll be right back.